My name is John Elmore, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with acceptance and insecurity. This has led to binging on anything that makes me feel good or numbs me out, but primarily this has led to alcoholism. I grew up in a Christian home and placed my faith in Jesus when I was 9 years old, but by the age of 12, I had started drinking and smoking to mask my insecurity and acceptance issues in junior high. This awakened a fascination and a lust for alcohol. I got back on track in high school, but it was more about people-pleasing and trying to look good rather than a desire to walk with God and actually honor Him. My freshman year of college was a repeat of junior high insecurity all over again. I felt unliked, alone, and sick of being good just for good's sake. I saw people having a lot more fun than I was, and there didn't seem to be any consequences for them. So I let my relationship with God fade, and the drinking and tobacco started back up again as a good escape. I joined a fraternity, and the insecurity and acceptance issues were pacified for the moment. I really don't think I had failed to achieve anything in my life up to that point until managerial accounting. After sleeping through class for the whole semester, I walked in to take a midterm exam. I scanned the questions and felt this wave of panic wash over me, and I turned in a blank exam. I walked home, grabbed my hunting knife, and drove out to the lake. I felt like such a failure, and I knew that I had just wasted so much of my parents' money. I hated myself, and without even knowing why I was doing what I was doing, I started just dragging that knife across my arm. I wanted to hurt myself and punish myself. I wanted to get the pain out. And so the cutting, cigarette burns, and other self-harm would come whenever the pain inside was overwhelming. Sometime later, a Christian roommate confronted me about my drinking. I determined that I wouldn't live this hypocritical life any longer. If I couldn't do both, I'd have to choose the one that I loved. I remember deciding in my mind, God, I'll come back to you after college. I'm going to have fun these next couple of years. I spent the next 2 years of college still faking my faith and binge drinking nightly. I should have known I had a problem when my drinking buddies were the ones who started to pull me aside to tell me that I was drinking too much. I graduated a functional alcoholic, but I had finished college successfully, led our fraternity well, and I had a great job lined up, so nobody really questioned me or got in my way. After leaving college, what little accountability I had was now totally non-existent. I chased hard after status and success at work. I worked nights and weekends to get ahead and drank every night, either for fun or to cope with the stress. After my first year out of school, I was smoking pot whenever it was around, buying it, and started keeping it in the house. Everything in my life had changed. My friendships changed, my values changed, the girls I dated changed. My compromises led me down paths I swore I would never take. Drugs, sexual sin, total value shifts in life and relationships. And I had zero conviction about the sin in my life. In fact, I reveled in the sin, and I tried to think up new ways to get more messed up or how to push the limits further. My life was marked by folly, excess, pride, and drunkenness. My credo was, better to live fast than die slow. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. This explains my estrangement to God. I loved my sin more than Him. I truly cherished it, and I wouldn't be around anyone who got in the way of it or my drinking or fun. From there, I eroded into a deist, believing that God must exist by everything I could see in creation, but certainly had nothing to do with me or us and had no involvement in our lives. I thought the Bible was just a book of moral fairy tales and that Christians were self-righteous do-gooders. I remember actually saying the words, "That's why I hate Christians," making a very ironic statement about hypocrisy. I was a blasphemer, and I thought people who were giving their lives to follow Christ were living a joke, some kind of deluded, make-believe life, instead of engaging in real life like the rest of us. My heart had become poisonous, cold, and dark. I kissed a girl at a party, and within 2 months, we were having sex. I used to swear I would never do anything except kiss a girl before marriage. But after a while, this was just a rule made up by some religion that I didn't follow anymore. The relationship was warped by sexual sin and partying. And that high of infatuation was like nothing I'd felt before. And so I reasoned it was love, and thus we got engaged and quickly married. Shocking to me, infatuation and partying don't sustain marriages. And being married doesn't magically fulfill the void in your life. So within that first year, we both experienced serious disenchantment with life and with each other. We didn't feel in love anymore and thus sought after other things to satisfy us both. No matter how much I bought, ate, drank, or achieved at work, I couldn't find any lasting satisfaction. I could get some satisfaction in the moment, but then it would leave me emptier than before. So I required more and more of whatever it was while it was satisfying me less and less. I was haunted by the anxiety of all the moving parts in life that I was trying to control and literally drank myself to sleep most nights because of the pressure. For those of you who grew up in the 80s, it felt like whack-a-mole. Like you'd hit one down and then another one. And you'd smack that one down. It's madness. That'll throw me off. I secretly resented my wife because I thought she should bring me happiness, and she didn't. I remember staring up at the ceiling some weeknight after working a 12-hour day and thinking, is this it? Is this really all life is? Get up, work for somebody else, eat your fill, drink your fill, sleep and repeat for the next 50 years? Because if that's all life is miserable. I felt like a dog chasing my tail, and I was so tired and frustrated. So I thought, well, if that's all life is, might as well have as much fun as you can and get as rich as you can. My existence had become a joke. I had bought the world's lie that there was satisfaction to be found in status, money, things, and relationships. And I was killing myself to get more of all of them. I used to wake up on Saturdays to work on a side business I was trying to start. And I would keep the buzz going by drinking scotch, but I would drink it out of a coffee mug so that no one would know. I'd mix in painkillers to increase the high and get more messed up. I couldn't get any peace, so I figured numbness was a pretty good second place. I was bitter. I was in a decade-long spiritual coma. I was a fully developed, functional alcoholic, a money-hungry workaholic, and was emotionally withdrawing from my wife. But on the outside, I still maintained and manipulated through my happy-go-lucky, nice guy persona. I was a total pride-filled fraud, and it was catching up with me. My wife and I both self-destructed in various ways and hurt each other deeply with decisions that we made. During the lowest point of our marriage, I found out that I had biblical grounds for divorce. In a fit of rage, heartache, and rejection, I destroyed the entire contents of our house while she was out of town. I filed for divorce and moved on to a friend's couch. Went from a home in the city, the lake property, the car, everything that I thought would satisfy me, to in an instant living on a couch, and I had two boxes of wrinkled clothes. Everything I hoped in, loved, and worked for was gone in an instant. This began the darkest 3 months of my life. I had no way to cope with the pain or loss because I didn't have God, and subsequently fell very, very hard. I was a house built on sand, a storm came, and the crash was great. I couldn't eat, and I had terrible insomnia. So I would drink myself into nightmare-filled sleep. I was manically depressed with crazy highs and crushing lows. I felt paralyzed and like boxed in on all sides, and it was this debilitating feeling to where I was losing the ability to function. I was paranoid, racked with anxiety, and lost all hope and purpose. On top of this, I was filled with disgust for my wife and absolute rage for a good friend who was right in the middle of our situation. So one night I loaded my shotgun and I began hunting down my friend. I wanted to kill him and then kill myself to avoid a life in prison. I held the barrel of my shotgun in front of my face, and I remember laying my pinky down on the trigger to see if I could actually go through with it. I felt the damage was beyond repair, and there was nothing left to live for. I wanted revenge and then to die. After 3 months of self-destructing, the death blow came when I slept with another woman. I had filed for divorce months earlier, but was very much still legally married. The self-disgust and self-hatred was overwhelming. This began a 3-week binge, starting in the mornings, lasting all night. And in December of 2005, my family and friends found me drunk in downtown Austin with two homeless men. There was a family intervention, and a week later I was walking into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Walking into a 12-step meeting for the first time was the scariest, most humbling thing I've ever done. Some of you can relate tonight. I stared at that unmarked building from my bogus fancy car and watched people shuffle in. In my mind, places like this were reserved for the absolute throwback losers of life, not people like me, still reeking of pride. And all I wanted to do was go drink. I knew I could instantly numb out this pain and escape. It was a last-ditch effort by Satan, and I started feeling this flood of accusations and a finger pointing me, poking me in my chest with these things. You were given a good hand in life, a good family, a great education, every opportunity, and you squandered it all. You're 30 years old, and you've blown it. I thought walking into that room would be the end of my life. I remember hearing guys share and talking about the steps and thinking, how in the world is any of this nonsense going to help me? I couldn't have been more wrong. I threw myself with abandon into the steps, and when I hit step 3, surrender your life and will to God, everything started changing. I knew from my childhood that Jesus alone could save. So I cried out to the one who I had rejected for so many years. I finally surrendered to Jesus and asked him to be Lord of my life. And he saved me just like he promises to do so in the Bible. I thank God for Luke 15 and the story of the prodigal. I left my God and I squandered everything. And after completely destroying my life, I returned to God. And he instantly, without question or putting me on probation, took me back. And not only took me back, but quickly began restoring me. And not only restoring me, but literally made my life better than it had ever been before. I finally realized that the only way to live was to surrender my life and my will, my daily will, my every decision over to Jesus. And the result was a completely new life. It was a new life, and yet my situation was still very much the same. I was still losing my wife, still sleeping on a couch, still failing out of my career, except for this. There was an irreversible change happening inside of me, and that made everything different. It's like God had moved me into the eye of a hurricane, and there was now peace, and I had this new purpose in life. I had joy, too. I began laughing and singing again. I mean, I can remember all of this so clearly, like I hadn't laughed or sang in years. I had a loving father I could pray to and seek guidance from him in these little decisions that I didn't know what to do. And the inner cleansing of steps 4 and 5 was like being healed from terminal cancer. And each of the amends that I made from step 9 was nothing short of a miracle restoration of a destroyed relationship prior. Walking with Jesus through those steps literally overhauled every aspect of my life. I remember sitting at my sales desk and seeing a call come in from my biggest client. I knew all I had to do was answer the phone, and it was money in the bank, but I couldn't do it anymore. The only reason why I was at that job and was ever at that job was to get rich. God had changed my heart. So I resigned my clients, I bought a Bible, and I moved back to my parents' home in Missouri. I was so starved for God and for his word. I spent hours a day reading my Bible and praying and meeting people at church, and just people were just pouring into me. And that began the best 6 months of my life that I've ever lived. Now I want you to not miss what I just said. I was unemployed, an alcoholic, divorced, and living with my parents at the age of 30. And I just said it was the best time of my life. The difference was this. I was now surrendered to and walking with God. That single factor changed every circumstance of my life. I was invited to go to Trinidad to love and serve Hindus and Muslims and share the gospel with them. I soon found myself 3 months sober, standing in a boys' prison in Trinidad, and I was asked to first share my testimony. I began to realize then that God was able to take the absolute wreckage from my past and make it into something new and usable and beautiful for His glory. Only God can take years of alcoholism and a destroyed life and use it for good. The next fall, I enrolled into a year-long discipleship program, similar to the 12 steps here with regeneration. It was 1 year of this intense discipleship of just growing in community and with God. Within a month, I knew no matter what kind of work I would ever do in life, the rest of my days would be spent telling others who are hurting about Jesus, that He's real and that He saves and restores. I enrolled in another school after that here in Dallas to learn more about the Lord and Bible. Back when I was living in Austin, I literally used to say, just let me know where to send a check, because I didn't want to give any of my time to anyone. I didn't want to do any serving. I just wanted to throw some money at a cause and be done with it. That was different now too. Jesus gave me a heart for others. I moved to Haiti for a summer to work in a children's malnutrition clinic. I would spend my Friday nights at a homeless shelter. Moved to Sudan for the summer to work with other alcoholics who were there, part of fallout from the Civil War. I never used to share any of my weaknesses with anyone. And now I was sharing my story of alcoholism, divorce, and pain in almost every opportunity I could that God gave me. Because I knew it wasn't about me anymore. It was about Him. Back then, I had this high-paying job and a lot of things and status. And I was empty, anxious, and bitter. Now, I was a student in my 30s with a part-time job, living in someone else's home, driving a beat-up car that I still drive and love, and was more satisfied and content, I believe, than the richest man in Dallas. After a long break from dating, God crossed my path with a beautiful, godly woman, who's dead set on loving the Lord and loving others. I was floored when I met her, but believe because of my past, I was unlovable by someone as wonderful as her. I was wrong. I married Laura, the best woman I've ever known, this past July 16th, 1 month come tomorrow. She's sitting over here. Laura, you're God's tangible grace in my life. And all that applause, that's all for the Lord, because this is all His doing. After finishing school this past May, I began serving here at Regeneration. And that's a dream come true for me, because now I get to spend this time and walking through this with you. And we get to walk with our Lord Jesus closer and closer and walk through life together. And I thank God for that, and I thank you for that opportunity. I don't know what brought you here tonight or what accusations you may be feeling, but I do know there is one who can save you in every aspect of your life. I can stand here and tell you He saves because He saved me. I've experienced Him setting me free from addictions that I used to love. I have felt Him lift the crushing weight of regret. I have seen the can barely get out of bed depression vanish. I've had hopelessness and despair change to hope and excitement. My sadness and futility turn to joy and purpose. My decade of wreckage has been redeemed into something useful. My squandered gifts have been restored and even increased. My desire to die has been turned into this true love for life. My anxiety has changed to peace. And my love of self is changing daily into a love of God and others. Jesus did all this for me, and He will do it for you, I promise you. I wouldn't stand up here and waste your time and mine and lie to you if it weren't true. Give him a year here at Regeneration and just wait. You won't recognize your life because of what he'll do. The Bible promises it. I'm living proof, and so are hundreds of others who are in this room who have sat in your chair. Psalm 115:1 says, not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Thanks for letting me share.